You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Did anyone else watch My Bomb make his final run at Rebecca Farm and bawl their eyes out? Just me? Okay. This week, we're talking about the hunters taking over Europe and sharing our best tips on how to keep those arenas dragged, pristine, and perfect for our horses. Thanks for tuning in.
From Heels Down Mag, a podcast where horse pros chat about what's happening in the horse world over drinks.
Welcome to Happy Hour.
I'm Justine Griffin.
I'm Jessica Payne.
And I'm Ellie Woznicka. Welcome to episode 138 of Heels Down Happy Hour.
What's up?
Hey, guys.
How's it going?
Hello, hello.
Not bad. Can't believe it's almost the end of summer.
I know. I can't wait. Yeah. I can't wait for it to be over. So. Please hurry. But I'm excited to hear more about your summer, Jess, like Traverse City, everything you guys did, because you're fresh off your trip, right?
Yeah, we've been home for about a week or so. And yeah, it's been a crazy summer. It's been great. It's trying different places and everything else. And yeah, it's been different and in a good way.
Awesome. I can't wait to hear more. This episode is brought to you by Yanmar. All right, guys. So I have a fun drink. It's a very summer drink, and the internet keeps feeding it to me. I'm not even kidding you. You know, like how you think of something, you're like, oh, I need a new whatever pair of jeans, and then all of a sudden, like, you keep getting fed ads for jeans, like, on the internet. I feel like that is what is happening here. I was at like a wedding a while ago, and they made the most amazing Aperol spritz, which I like them only if they're really good. And so I don't know why, but now I keep getting like links to like news articles about how it's not the Aperol spritz this summer. The new hottest summer cocktail is called the Hugo spritz. So that is the drink I have for you this month. So it's very much still like a bubbly drink, but instead of Aperol, which gives it sort of bitter but still sweet taste, you know, you guys are familiar with Aperol, right?
Yeah.
This is still bubbly. It's still got Prosecco. It's still got soda water, but it's going to be more minty. You're going to garnish with a mint sprig and a lemon wheel. But instead of the Aperol, you're going to use about a half ounce of Saint Germain. And you combine that with your Prosecco.
That sounds so nice.
Yeah, with a little bit of lemon. I think that sounds excellent. So if you've never tried the Hugo Spritz, now is a great time.
I've never had Saint Germain. Like, what kind of flavor is that?
That's a good question. I still feel like it gives a bitter taste, right, Jess? Would you say that? Like, it pairs well with Prosecco in the same way that Aperol does, but it feels a little bit more like
elderflowery, kind of that kind of.
Oh, it's the elderflower thing.
It's
okay.
I don't know if it actually is.
I don't think it actually is either. No. It's its own.
But it pairs with
like, it's like the lemon. Yeah. Like, it's a little bit lighter, I would say.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's like floral, fruity, and it is a French elderflower liqueur. So it is. So I've had it with like cucumber, gin stuff, and everything else. So, yeah, like a gin and tonic, like with that. And it's really good. So, with some, I've never had it with sparkling Prosecco or anything else like that, but it's like kind of a floral taste. It's really good.
I feel like I've had it in more like citrusy drinks, you know?
Yeah.
Like a pear drink
fan.
I've had it like in a French 75 one time. Like they did it a little bit as a twist with that.
Yeah. No, this is good. This is a nice summer drink.
This sounds definitely better than the sparkling cider I have right now.
Oh, boy.
I'm on the bare. Okay. So you guys know I live in a dry township or whatever. So I have to drive like 30 minutes to go get my alcoholic beverages. So I'm at like the end of my reserves. So I need to go restock.
You need to go for a run.
So we'll of course have all the ingredients and everything you need to make this recipe at home in our show notes. But it's time for news. Ellie, do you want to go?
Yeah. So did you guys see the Barron Classic, the way they kind of made this exciting hunter show for Europe?
Yeah, I thought it was so cool.
I thought it was really cool.
Is this the first time they ever did it? Like, I was very surprised by it.
Yeah, yeah, it was the first time. So they, like, paired up, like, a junior hunter rider with a professional hunter rider, and then an FEI show jumper. And they created two teams. So on one team, the show jumper, we have Harry Schmolders, and then Rodrigo Pessoa on the other one. So you know, both incredible show jumpers, but they partnered up with their professional hunter riders and their junior hunter riders. And the whole point was kind of to show, you know, the difference because, and honestly, this goes to show like how above my head this was. I didn't even realize that hunters wasn't a thing in Europe.
Oh, yeah. It's North America only, the US and Canada. Yeah.
Which is hilarious because I'm like, how many hunters get imported all the time? And I didn't even, I'm like, oh yeah, they have to know what hunters are, right? So that was wild. But it was really cool. This article that we'll post in the show notes from the Chronicle, it had questions and answers from both Schmolders and Rodrigo Pessoa, like what it was like. Obviously, Rodrigo Pessoa, like he's ridden hunters before, I want to say like 2005-ish. And so it was more familiar for him, but Schmolders has never done it before. So he was talking about how he was like, you know, getting tips on what to do, you know, lead changes in the corners of the ring versus, you know, just doing it right after the jump. And so I thought it was really interesting and to watch, like there were some beautiful horses that these guys were on, but just the really jumps, cool to
the jumps were beautiful. Like it was on the beautiful derby grass and yeah, they went all out. It was gorgeous.
Yeah. And I thought it was fun. And Schmolder said, you know, it's really fun to just try something new, you know, because you're always learning with horses. And I thought that was such a great approach to have, you know. He was like, it was fun to kind of, you know, slow down and think about it and things. And yeah, so he was really grateful. And he talked about how he loved the horse he was on her ears, which I thought was really cute.
Aw. Yeah, no, it's very cool. It was fun to see it. I feel like I was seeing it in real time over the weekend, like in people's Instagrams. You know, it just looked beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely. And the commentary on it was really fun, too.
Awesome.
What have you got?
Okay, so I was totally glued to the live stream of Rebecca Farm over the weekend. They ran their big summer event series that they do every year. And the reason why I was glued to it was because Tammy Smith was competing with My Bomb, the horse she won with at Kentucky a couple years ago, for the last time. And they were having his retirement ceremony there. So they ran in the 4-star short and just won it from start to finish. She finished on a 22 in the dressage, which I think was a record breaker for the dressage, like, ever at the event at Rebecca Farm. And then they just sort of like very casually made their way around the cross country and show jumping to win it. And it was just like a foot perfect, beautiful fairy tale ending to what a very cool career and a super partnership. You know, I know Tammy and My Bomb, you know, they were in contention for the Olympic team in Paris and that didn't pan out. And that was such a heartbreak for them. But I mean, she's just had such a wonderful career with this horse, and they've always been a fan favorite, definitely a favorite of mine to watch. So I was very teary-eyed watching the retirement ceremony after show jumping, after she won. And what they did is they took the saddle off My Bomb, like there in the arena, and put this beautiful like wreath of roses, sort of like what you see on racehorses. And his owner, which was a longtime student of Tammy's, was there too. It was very heartwarming. And it's just nice to celebrate the riders who do right by their horses, I think. You know, like, clearly this horse is fit and winning at the top level, but they're retiring him now so he can enjoy his retirement. And just what a lovely horse. You know, he's just always so beautiful to watch. And in the dressage, I love him.
Yeah, he's a stunner.
So Eventing Nation did a really nice recap. They have all the beautiful photos from the whole week from Shannon Brinkman up on their website. And if you haven't seen the clips, like, for sure, keep an eye out for them because it was just a beautiful weekend. And Jess, have you ever been to Rebecca Farm? Because it just looks stunning.
I haven't, but it does look amazing.
It's so remote. I know. Yeah, it's so hard to get there.
It's so remote to, like, you know, go all the way out there for just like one weekend. It's kind of hard.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, they had drones like shooting a lot of content for them through the whole week. Cool. So they have these like epic scenes of the cross country of riders, you know, running the FEI cross country. But then it's like just gorgeous green rolling hills with the Montana mountains behind them. Like, it's just beautiful. What a cool place to ride.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah. So that is my news, is me crying over My Bomb's retirement. But what about you, Jess? What's going on?
So I don't know if you guys have heard, but now the USEF is going to start hair testing as a drug, you know, policy, like basically. So right now they take urine and blood, but now they're going to start taking hair follicles and testing the hair.
Interesting.
And yeah. And I had a lot of questions about it. Cause I was like, well, you know, the timing on it, like the blood and everything else, you like, is this a new technology? Is this new stuff that, you know, we're going to be trying out and finding out like all of this? But actually the Chronicle did a huge article that actually answered a ton of my questions, because apparently they've been doing it in racehorses for forever, and they can almost, they can't pinpoint the exact time of when they do it, but they're testing more for barbiturals that are like, you know, when euthanasia drugs and everything else, because they got leaked that there were some professionals, which is just crazy to be honest, that they have this, that now we're, you know, everybody's just going to a different point, try to get a little bit ahead, which
I know it's gross.
You know, it's kind of gross and sad, the fact that like we're having to do the hair samples, but in that way they have kind of gotten it down to a science. It sounds that, like, I'm sure nothing's perfect, but that they can hopefully, you know, it, the turnaround time is about 2 weeks, and they can do it and test to see, okay, look, I think that it is this drug, and then they can do additional testing. So they are trying to do right by it. We'll see how that works out, but it is interesting, and it's definitely weird that we'll now be doing hair samples.
I know, that is weird. So I have two comments on this. One is I actually have pulled Mikey's hair follicles for him to participate in a study at the University of Florida. This was a couple of years ago. They were trying to see if there was a genetic link to horses that suffer from anhidrosis. And they were looking at genetics through DNA from hair follicles. So you couldn't cut them. You had to like pull them out of their scalp and send them off. And this is very silly, but when I read this story in the Chronicle, and it makes me think of like when I was in high school, my mom used to threaten like she was going to drug test me by taking hair out of my hairbrush as like a teenager. And I was like, do it.
That's hysterical.
So
that
that's what hysterical. I think of is
that
my
is
mom,
amazing.
My mom yelling at me.
I never threatened to drug test me with my hair. So that would be a new one. But I mean, we'll see. We'll see how it is, because, you know, right now we know the half-lives for Butte and Banamine and all of that for FEI and USCF and everything else. But these hair follicles, they can test back like, you know, over a year and everything else, depending on how long it is. So I think it'll be interesting. And, you know, the fact, you know, we have people that are not wanting to play by the rules is sad. And, you know, now we all have to, which it'll be fine. Like they'll figure out that, but it will be different to kind of see is the half-life's changing and everything else that you have to pay attention for new drug rules.
I know. Yeah. Cause that's kind of crazy. A year back, like someone could have not even owned the horse.
Well, that's
that
what
time.
I mean. Yeah, yeah. You could have not owned it and all of that. So it's definitely strange.
Yeah. We'll see how it kind of unfolds, I guess.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I completely agree with you guys. It's just wild that we've even gotten to this point. I remember growing up, it was so like rare that you would have to get a urine or a blood test on a horse for drugging. And I remember one time showing in the pre-children's, like literally 2-6, okay? And I remember being so excited that my horse had done so well that they wanted to drug test it. I was like, yes, like how cool is that, you know? And now I'm like, oh my God, because it's happening all the time. Like,
oh,
it's just, it's horrifying that that would like even be considered.
Yep. Yeah. I think all of us as a community have a lot of like introspection that needs to be done. You know what I mean? What are we doing? We're doing this for a ribbon. You know what I mean?
Right.
But
So Justine, I want to talk to you. Did you try the Benefab pole wraps?
I did. Yeah. So this is cool.
I'm curious.
This is cool new stuff that I also was influenced by the internet. I kept seeing an ad for the Benefab's pastern wraps. And Benefab's, I'm sure you guys are familiar with them. I feel like they've been around a long time. I knew them as the company that made the magnetic blankets, right? But they make a whole bunch of products. They're sort of a competitor to some of our favorites like Draper Therapies and Back on Track, in that they make health products, athletic products that are infused with a specific kind of therapy. So what Benefab is known for is they use far infrared emitting materials. So it's a little bit different than the others, but with the same end goal in mind, in that they're meant to promote blood circulation and increase oxygen flow. Also, you know, all while you know, basically trying to help your horse recover faster and keep muscles tight and tendons tight and relaxed. So something I think of like in the summer here, it is so freaking hot for me to put like quick wraps or standing wraps on my horse's legs. It's just too hot in the summer to do that. Even though I'm a big fan of them and at horse shows, I do it a lot, obviously in weather appropriate times, like in the summer or not the summer, in the fall, though in the winter and a little bit in the spring. But Mikey is the type, you know, he's got some, a bunch of junk going on in his legs. He's the type who has wind puffs and naturally stocks up, especially in the humid weather in the summer. So I was looking for something that might help him with that, where, you know, he spends a couple hours in the stall and his legs are pretty stocked up. So what can I do to help him? So I was influenced by this ad with the Pastern wraps. They're an easy price point. They're less than $30. So for me, I figured if they work, great. If they don't, it was only $30. So
right. Fair.
You know what I mean? So, and I love them. I'm not going to lie. I've been using them for about a month and I just wrap them around his pasterns. Like,
and they keep the swelling down.
They really do. Just as good as my Draper Therapy standing wraps. They really do.
Oh, wow.
So
like we use Pastern wraps just to like when they nick themselves and stuff.
Exactly.
But that's, you know, amazing that they can just put that on for the full, you know, just for, you know, in the stall.
Yeah. So like when I read their, you know, instructions, they don't necessarily recommend them for riding.
Yeah, not riding.
But
yeah.
To be honest, I ride in them. I just put them on his hinds. He's the type who, you know, will, you know, hit his ankles. So I just put them on his hind legs when I hack him. Yeah. Probably if I was doing something serious, I probably wouldn't use them. But otherwise, I put them on his fronts, which are the legs with the most damage. And within an hour, they take all of the swelling out of his leg. I'm not kidding. Yeah. You know, like the leg where he had the sesamoidean tear, he just naturally, especially in the summer when it's humid, he has a pocket of hot fluid that just kind of pulls there at the bottom of the ankle. It will take all that fluid out within an hour. Just like him in the stall eating hay. Yeah. Huh. And so that's
really nice to not have to wrap the whole leg.
Right. Yeah. I'm not adding any heat to the leg. And I'll put him on his hind legs when I hack and then or on a trail ride. And when I come back, I just hose them off and I can hose them off when they get dirty and they're fine. Let them dry. They're good to go.
Huh.
So because I liked the Pastern wraps so much, I then was influenced by a follow-up email from Benefab. They were like, tell us what you think. Do you want to buy something else? So I did. I bought their therapeutic pole pad.
Oh, I have a couple clients who use those.
Yeah, I've always seen them and thought, I don't know, it's just more bulk to your bridle. You got to take your bridle apart to put it on. It just feels like a lot of work. But again, it's not that expensive. It's less than $40. Mikey is a cribber. He lives in a collar. He's the type that the body worker always tells me. He's tight in the pole, yada, yada. I feel it when I ride. That's where he carries his tension. And I was like, why not? So the therapeutic pole pad from Benefab is a little different. It still has the far infrared materials, but it also has the magnets. It has two medical grade magnets that are grade 2400, if that means anything to you. I don't know, but it sounds good to me. It's right in the middle, which they like right in the middle of the pole, which they say is important because it's like a key acupressure point. So I put it on my dressage bridle. I ride him in it every day. I can't say I've noticed, like, there's nothing I can see that's noticeably changing, like the Pastern wraps where I see like the stocked up fluid going away. But it's definitely not hurting him, you know? He seems happy to wear it. So, you know, now I just use it every day because it's on my bridle. So I've got to say, Benefab, you've kind of converted me, all thanks to an Instagram ad. So keep paying for the
impressive
Instagram ads.
Right, exactly.
But yeah, the Pastern wraps, I'm not kidding. I'm sure I'm going to wear through them because if I'm riding in them, like they're going to get banged up in a little while.
Yeah, you're doing a lot more.
I'll buy them again. I will. They're worth it because it's so hot here and I can't wrap his leg and I'm not someone who uses boots when I ride or anything, and I like them a lot. I seriously have used them every day since I bought them. So that's my honest review. Benefab is not a sponsor of this podcast. I like them.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah. So I know there are a lot of options when you're thinking about ceramic therapy, that kind of thing. Yeah, I stand behind the Pastern wraps for sure. Yeah.
I literally just bought some for Batman.
I need an influencer code or something.
I know, right?
Yeah, what the heck?
Yeah, I like them.
From dragging arenas to hauling hay, maintaining pastures and more, Yanmar tractors are built for the demand of the equestrian life. Whether you're caring for a few horses at home or running a busy boarding barn, Yanmar delivers the power, comfort, and reliability you need. Trusted by riders, barn owners, or even a few friends of the podcast, discover why Yanmar is built better, backed longer. Visit YanmarTractor.com to learn more.
All right. So I have questions for both of you. As two people who maintain their own farms and their own riding arenas, and even I think this will be good, Jess and Ellie, because you both have different arenas. Like your arena, Ellie, is indoors that has the footing, and I'm sure it has different footing than Jess, what you guys have for your jump arena, which is outdoors at your farm. But I want to talk more about how we maintain our arenas. Like, you spend all the money on the footing, you build it out, you level it, you put the base, you put the footing down, yada, yada. Then you're riding horses in it every day, but it requires maintenance, right? To keep it going.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So why don't, like, both of you tell me, like, what is your arena? What is the footing in it? How many horses are in it every day? How many times do you drag it every day?
Ours is synthetic footing. So it's sand mixed with a fiber mix that you see at mm-hmm. a bunch of the big horse shows. So it's that mixture. And we don't have an arena perimeter or anything. So you can go from the grass to the arena. And so we're not home all the time. So it's got a French drain and everything in it because we want to know that if we get 5 inches of rain overnight, that we can ride that morning, because at the end of the day, we're not always here. So like, we need to know we can able to sustain like all of the riding right. with the amount of weather we get. So it can withhold as much rain as you need. If anything, it could get dry and then we water it. Currently we are putting in the irrigation in this month, but right now we just have sprinklers set up. So that is a pain, but it works because you can't get this arena too wet, basically.
I feel like I've seen you guys cover it one time. Was that from snow to keep it from freezing?
The one of the first or second winters we were here, we had a bit more snow and we had the event horses. So we like couldn't miss a day basically. And so we covered it with tarps when it was going to snow. And then you could pull it off and you could ride like by 9 o'clock, you could ride on the arena. It was pretty impressive. Wow. You can use it, you know, year round. There obviously are days that we don't cover it and then we ride in the field, but honestly, there's not many. I mean, that's maybe on one hand how many times you can't ride most winters.
Got it. What about you, Ellie?
So my arena is covered, like you said, but my footing is the Footing First All Right blend, which actually has a wax binder in it. So it does not need water at all, ever, which, I mean,
is that more of a Western style footing?
No. So okay. Footing First has, so the All Right just means basically it's the synthetic sand that they have at horse shows, but mine just doesn't have the added fiber.
Oh, got it. Okay.
I've actually been thinking about adding fiber to it just because I'm like, well, then it'll be a little easier to maintain. Because when you have sand alone, I'm going to be dragging it a lot more than when you have fiber. But so the nice thing about mine is that it does not require water at all, which was a big reason why, like with me being on a well and me being, you know, not working full time in the industry, I wanted to make it as easy as possible for me to just get out there and ride and then also do all of the other things that I need to do all the time. So yeah, it's a wax binder and it's indoor. So that makes it a little easier.
Got it. So what equipment do you use to maintain your arena? Like, are you dragging it with a UTV? Are you dragging it with a tractor? What's your drag setup like?
So our drag, for us, we have the Yanmar tractor and we love it. It's super easy. And the drag is like a quick disconnect. And I think it's actually like a Dragonfly or whatever else. I don't remember what brand it is, but it's the one that
Carolina Arena. That's the same brand I have.
Okay. Yes. And so it's great. It's quick. It's easy to hook up. The tractor's on it and it doesn't take long. Because we have the fiber and everything else, we have, you know, anywhere from 15 to 20 horses on it a day and we drag it every day. So then It's easy. I mean, rarely do you have to drag it more than that. Okay. Especially if there's water on it, it holds very, very well.
And you, Ellie?
Yeah. So I have the Carolina Arena equipment Dragonfly as well. Mine is suitable for both fiber and non-fiber. It's got the teeth in the front, and then it's got tines in the middle, and then it's got a roller on the back.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, it's the same one. It's awesome.
Oh, you have the same one? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know they have rollers in the front, too, that they have, you know, a heavier one. And I use mine with just a, you know, a side-by-side ATV. I have they have attachments where, you know, instead of using a 3-point hitch, you could just add them on. So that I can do all the adjusting just by spinning. That. Yeah.
Oh, that's mm-hmm. nice. That's ours nice. Might be even the bigger. Ours might be the roller on the other side. But I mean, that company, it's great. They make the best. They hold up. We abuse our drags. So, but yeah, it is. Ours might be the one bigger than that, but it's a great, great drag.
Do you feel like the roller makes a difference? Just like packing it
100%.
down?
100%.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think between having all of them, it kind of just tills it up, but then it lays it flat. There's nothing like a Fresh Drug Arena. Like, it looks so nice.
Yeah, for sure.
And for me, obviously, I've got a lot less horses going on it every day. You know, I try to drag once a week. Usually after about 5 rides or 6 rides, I drag. I mean, and I say ride. Sometimes Matt rides with me, sometimes not. So usually about after, I would say, 10 horses, I drag.
Okay. All right. Now, I remember seeing a post on your Double Barrel Creek, like your farm page, Ellie, not too long ago, about don't just ride on the rail, like, because you see that buildup of footing, right? Like when horses travel in the same path constantly. Is that something that's like difficult for you guys to maintain? Does that create like lumpy areas that you have to think about more seriously than just like one arena drag?
100%.
For us. Okay. Not for us, which is nice.
Wow.
So because the base and everything, and we don't have fencing too. So everybody kind of like, you're not stuck on that same track, which is nice. Sometimes like they'll, you know, be a foot almost outside of the arena, but they're not really. And the only thing you would see where you'd have to do is we have to move the jumps because then obviously you don't want when you're dragging it in like one sat. You can tell like if there's like a triple setup and then you could go, but that's after 2 weeks, basically.
Where they really dig in there. Yeah.
And they're digging and it doesn't, you know, they don't ever touch the base or anything else. I mean, we have rock and then little rock and then fabric and then more sand. And then, I mean, ours is like a whole process all the way down to the drains. And so it holds up that. We've been in arenas before where it kind of has to settle. And after a couple of years, then it's good. This one was, you know, we trusted Clint out of Aiken, a friend of ours who does arenas. And like, he did an amazing job. We could ride on it right away. And you didn't have time to settle or anything else. And I think that made the biggest difference.
Pretty cool. But for Ellie, I mean, yours is a smaller space too, you know,
and that might make the difference too.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And obviously the wall of mine, you know, I have a 60 by 120 arena, so we're not talking very big.
Yeah.
Right.
But also just in general, like growing up in a, you know, a lesson barn, you know, I noticed it a lot even at other facilities, you know, when you have kids lessoning and they just ride around on the rail and ride around the rail, it takes longer to drag because you have to make sure you're coming at where they've packed it up or right. So if you create the divot, right, even if they're not touching the base, they're creating these humps basically on either side of your track.
Yep.
And the way to get rid of those humps is you have to go basically perpendicular to them. So when you drag and you have to deal with people riding in the same place, then it just adds an area of concentration that you have to just make sure you spread it all out evenly. Otherwise, then you do risk potentially getting down to your bases because the footing doesn't level back out.
Got it. Interesting. Okay. Does your routine change at all depending on the season? Like just from like cold weather to wet weather, and Ellie for you too? I mean, it's still the ground freezes, you know?
It just varies. Like we're a little bit more flexible that if we get a big snowstorm, like we're gonna vary it day, you know, maybe it's a day different of when we were going to jump or when we were going to flat.
Sure.
And we look at the weather and it maybe varies, but it doesn't really change, I would say, per se, like what we're going to do. It just might change the day we were going to do it.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah, I usually just drag a little less in the winter. I don't have to drag as much. My footing stays really soft, but the... So I have three and a quarter inches of my actual footing. So when it freezes, obviously up here, I'm getting more freezing temperatures than Jess. So the bottom of my footing just hardens up. If I were to drag it and kind of fluff it up, I could still, you know, ride reining horses in it and it wouldn't be a problem. But in the winter, I'm not doing that stuff anyway. So it's nice because I can roll it, compact it, and then I actually, the cold weather with the wax binder kind of hardens it up a little bit. So it makes it easier for me because I don't have to drag as often.
Got it. Okay. What about do's and don'ts? Do you have any tips or tricks that you guys have learned along the way? Like whether you like the tractor versus the side by side or like things that make your routine better, or it sounds like the investment in the quality drag makes a big difference, huh?
Yeah, that, I think both of those. And then the other thing we've learned is making sure when they mow, not to mow, and this isn't about it, but like do and don't, make sure you're not mowing the grass into the arena. Make sure you're going where it's going the other way of the arena.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
That's a good one.
Mine is don't drag fast. So that's something I used to like, I was like, oh yeah, I can just throw this on, bang this out, do this really fast. But when you drag fast, you actually mess up your footing.
And messes I learned this worse.
I learned this the hard way because I had to have my arena like re-laser graded. What happens is when you drag really fast, the drag, especially when you're not on a 3-point hitch, it bounces when it's over those bumps. And what you actually do is create waves in your footing. And I was like, how the heck am I getting all these waves? I don't even ride in these places. Well, it was from me hauling and turning and burning with the drag on. So yeah, like there's no rush with dragging. I drive in low gear on my side by side and I take my time. It takes me about 45 minutes. And like I said, I have a 60 by 120. So I take my time.
Nice. Okay. Good to know. You know, it's funny that you say that because I've been at lots of barns. Some girls, I'm not going to lie, they haul ass with that drag is bouncing behind them. You know what I mean? I've been at barns like that, but I agree with you. When you're at the horse show, you watch like the guy in the tractor is driving real slow and everything is nice and level, right? You know?
Yep. Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right. So last question, what is the best investment you've made that's improved your arena?
Ours was the fact that it didn't improve it. It's what made the difference was putting in the drains and going with somebody that we 100% trusted. That I've had so many friends do it and then have to redo it because it wasn't good. And so from the beginning, like starting off that, I think was the best investment we did.
Got it. All right.
Yeah, I would agree with that. That's something you really don't want to mess around with in terms of, because it's going to cost you so much more to have to redo it. Like for me, the covered arena was already built, but I had no idea kind of what was actually in the ground. So like for my arena, we added the crusher run for 8 inches. And then we have, or not crusher run, we have the bigger rocks. And then we have the crusher run on top for about 4 inches. And then we have that compacted. And then we have the footing on top. And obviously all of that, I think, so this was back in 2019 and that cost me, I think like $35,000
okay.
with the cost of the footing, with the cost of, you know, all of the imported materials and then also like the labor and the drag. The best improvement I made to my arena though, was to actually, I kept having this issue with groundhogs. I know I've talked about it before.
I feel like that's common with indoors, depending on where you live. You're not the first person who's told me that.
Yeah, the best investment I made was I had them come in and basically dig a trench like 4 feet down. No, it was probably 3 feet down around the entire perimeter on the inside of my arena. And I actually put the no climb wire, the like 1 inch by 2 inch. And I put that down 3 feet all the way around the outside of my arena. And then I had it, you know, filled back in and stuff so they can't dig in. And then I added the same kind of smaller no climb wire around the outside of my entire barn because groundhogs don't like to dig in from 4 feet out, right? They want to dig in right next to the structure. So that actually gets to where they They don't want to dread. They're like, oh, I have to dig too far away. So they don't come in. I wish I had done that before I had, you know, spent the original investment. Obviously, I had to spend more, but it was actually covered by my homeowner's insurance because of the, or my farm insurance, because of the groundhog's potential to cause structural damage to the arena.
Interesting.
But so that was the biggest thing. I would never in a million years now build an indoor arena without having some kind of rodent barrier. It's made a huge night and day difference. And yeah, that was worth it.
Okay. Good tips. I mean, for our listeners, if you're tuning in and are considering building your arena or manage your own arena, your own farm, and you have thoughts or ideas or just input to share, we'd love to keep talking about it in our Facebook group, the Heelstone Happy Hour Podcast Lounge. I don't own a barn, but I'm fascinated. As someone who has horses that have had injuries, like, footing is really important to me. And I know it's a commitment, right, to maintain it, to think about what you're going to put down on the ground. So I learned a lot listening to you guys. And Jess, okay, so now you're fresh off of your first time out at Traverse City.
Yes.
We're big fans of Traverse City. They put on a great horse show out there at the Flint Park Horse Park. I wanted to, like, as a first timer, tell us all about your experience. You spent a couple of weeks there. You brought the show jumpers. What was your first impression? How did the show go? Give us an overview. How did it go?
Okay. So it was amazing. I will just state with that. Like, we had so much fun. Like, it's been a summer of trying new horse shows and everything, and they've all been good. But this one, I have to say, blows it out of the water. It is incredible. Anywhere from the facility is amazing. There's so much stuff to do in the area. The food, we did not have a bad meal. And then just the way the horse show runs, like, the office people are great. It's so well run. You could have, we had flooding one morning. We got there and the skies opened up and they're like, no big deal. They, like, manage it well. The Grand Prix ring, they have plugs and a drain. The entire Grand Prix ring was a lake at 8 o'clock in the morning. I mean, we have video of our kids. The only people that liked it during the rainstorm were my children because they were riding their bikes once it was in, I mean, in between the, they do raise up the barns a little bit. So it wasn't in the barns at all, but in between the barns, like, the, where you could drive through, was a lake. We got in so much rain so fast. The kids are riding their bikes through the rain and they're playing in it with their rain, you know, gear on and all that. And so the fact that they're just, they're prepared for all of that is amazing.
So tell me more about the horse park. Like, how are the stalls? Obviously, the footing was amazing. Did you guys hack on their trails around the property?
I did. So they opened up even more trails, apparently. I didn't know that these weren't really a thing, but the barns are nice. So we were in for our national horses, because with show jumping, they have to be separate completely. And so our national horses were in the tent barn, which was not bad. They're nice stalls, big stalls. A lot of times you're in tents, the aisleway is like dirt. It was fully matted. There were mats in the tent stalls.
Great.
They're big enough. The aisleways weren't that small. So that was nice. Like, we have bigger horses. So, like, the whole tent barn was fine. And then the permanent barns were the FEI horses, and they're building more. Like, there were still, there's probably still 6 or 8 permanent barns on there, but the permanent barns are beautiful. Like, they're really nice. They have real bathrooms in them. And I think they're slowly going through and replacing all the barns with the permanents. Don't quote me, but it looks like the way they're going with that. But I mean, yeah, the barns were really, really nice. And the trails, we found them. They're on the backside of the Hunter Land. You go out and I have video of it. Doesn't even look like we're at a horse show. Like, it's,
I love that,
through the woods. Like, it's all, I mean, you leave the horse show and, like, within 3-4 minutes, you can't even see the horse show.
Wow.
Like, you're, oh, it's really kind of strange because you drive around and you don't see the horse show, and it doesn't, like, when you pull up to Wellington or you pull up to Tryon, I mean, you see the facility, right? You don't see how big it is. It kind of, like, sits, like, in a valley type thing, but not really. So it just kind of sits in a hole. They don't see it really.
Wow. Interesting. That's
kind of
cool.
It's kind of cool. Like, you went up and, like, you see the power lines and we could see the hotel and, like, everything else, but you didn't, You didn't see the horse show, to be honest. I was like, at one point, I was like, I hope my phone has charged. Like, my phone always dies. But I was like, I really hope my phone has got charged because I might have to, like, MapQuest how to get home.
I haven't heard MapQuest in a long time. MapQuest. So where did you guys stay?
So my mom came the first week. And she wanted to stay at the Grand Traverse Resort. So we kind of got like one of the adjoining room suite things. And mm-hmm. it was a lot bigger than I would have even expected. It was so nice.
Were you
so
at
we
a
did that. My mom wanted to do that so that she could stay there with the kids. It was 5 minutes from the horse show at the Grand Traverse Resort.
Got it. Okay.
So it was amazing. I mean, hands down, if you can stay there, it's got 4 or 5 restaurants. It had an indoor pool for the kids.
Oh,
it had an outdoor pool. It had, you could take a shuttle to the beach club. And that's, my mom was like, look, like we could just share this and do that. And then because our girls stayed in the camper on site and where their camper was overlooked the pony rings.
Oh,
they
cool.
had so much fun.
Yeah.
So they could just golf cart back and forth.
Excellent. That's perfect.
Yeah. And then the second week I rented an Airbnb because it was then just Doug and myself and the kids. So we rented like a small Airbnb and it actually was right around the corner from the hotel. So it was like they have condos and stuff. And so we had the 1-bedroom condo.
Perfect. And what did you guys do with the family? I mean, I saw your pictures from the lake. It looked beautiful.
There's so much to do. We ran out of time, to be honest. And not because like we were at the horse show. Like we just ran out of days because we took the clients and all of us went on a bunch of them went on the lake. We rented like a pontoon boat. It was like very reasonable. We rented a pontoon boat for the hours and we went out like a sandbar and the kids played and everything else. And we went to downtown Traverse. So we stayed right near the horse show. So to downtown Traverse is probably 20 minutes.
Okay.
So we didn't make it. There is the Cherry Festival going on. We didn't make it to that, but there is a store in downtown Traverse called the Cherry Republic. It is the coolest store. You go in and you taste all the cherry stuff. So we got like cherry jam. The kids tasted all different types of cherry ice cream. They had cherry like gummy bears. There were cherry salsa. There was cherry wine, but I'm not going to lie. I was a little scared to taste that. So I didn't taste that.
That's where we draw the line.
I mean, there was a whole line at the bar, but I was like, oh, I don't know. I think my head might hurt. So I passed on that one. But it is there's tasting. They like encourage you to taste all the cherry stuff and then you can buy it right there. So we came back with a bunch of cherry stuff. And then one of the clients, she was brave enough and she did say that the cherry wine was not bad, but I was too scared to try it.
So what would you say, like, what's your top recommendations? If someone's considering going there to horse show, don't miss this.
I would say stay closer to the horse show so that you can get the horse show done and don't miss going to the lakes.
Okay.
Torch Lake or like right next to the horse show is another lake. Don't miss going to that and don't miss driving into Traverse and just walking around. Like the restaurants are amazing. There's not even a bad food. We went to, you know, a sports pub and it had like amazing tacos and everything there. And I was like,
great.
We're right next to the horse show. And it's, you know, it's not like you have to go and spend a lot of money at like high end restaurants. We went to like very like
family friendly
restaurants
stuff.
A lot of times. Oh, family friendly. Red Ginger was the sushi place everybody like raved about. And I was like, oh, and my kids do like stuff at sushi. They had bento boxes for the kids, like with so like they're very kid friendly everywhere there.
That's awesome. Well, to switch gears a little bit, like you brought the show jumpers. How'd they do?
So they were really, really good. You know, it's our first time there. We didn't know. Day one of with flatting them, we got there, you know, so that we could flat them before we showed them. It was kind of on the chillier side from North Carolina. So they were a little all wound up day one, but they settled in nicely. And yeah, Big Mike, the stuntman Mike Horse, that's just coming along to kind of find out what he wants to do in life, if he wants to be a big time jumper. He won the 130s. He was 130 champion one of the weeks. Yeah, the younger one of the same owner. He was really good in the 20s. Our 6-year-old jumped amazing. And both Count and Quincy, the chocolate and quintessence horse, won some 140 classes.
Awesome. Love to hear it.
Yeah. So, and then the clients loved it. They enjoyed it. And Yeah. I mean, it runs so efficiently so that you can go enjoy other things. And that's what I think is so nice about it.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds
awesome. And the horse show itself had like, we didn't even take advantage of it, but they had like bingo. They had whole tent where you could, it was open to everybody that you could just sit in and watch the Grand Prix ring. And there's a whole kid area that the kids did like jumpy castles right next to the Grand Prix ring.
How cool.
Or not jumpy castles, like the horse jumps.
Yeah, yeah. That's awesome.
I kept calling it jumpy castle. But yeah, no, they had so much fun.
Oh, that sounds great. I want to go. I want to plan a trip.
I think, so next year, this is the first horse show that Doug and I were like, we could stay longer. After 2 weeks, our quarters are up. And our quarter was not up. Like our quarter was ready to keep going for another couple weeks. So
wow, cool.
Yeah. I think next year, actually, we're going to try to go. We might even try June. It might be a little colder, but we might try going in June. We went over the 4th of July in the next week, which I did love those weeks. So we are, yeah, we're going to try to figure out a way to try to go for longer next year.
Awesome. Happy to hear it.
Yeah.
Belted Out Goods has a belt for every rider, from beautiful colors like the Spring Collection, which just launched, to popular staples from stripes to sparkles to woven patterns. You can find a belt to match your unique style at beltedoutgoods.com. Get 20% off all orders at Belted Out Goods with the coupon code HEELSDOWN20. All right, guys, it's that time. Who wants to go first for Rose and Thorn?
I can go.
Go for it.
All right, do it.
Because my Rose and Thorn is actually the same thing this time.
Oh.
Yeah. So we've done stuff with Zoetis before, and they had asked us at Kentucky to do a like a photo shoot type thing, like commercial thing. And we've done some small stuff with them, and they bring a couple people or whatever else. And so last week they came to the farm, or we did, you know, a meeting before, and that's when I knew this was maybe going to be part of my thorn, is there were about 15 to 20 people on a Zoom call about a planning for this like seg commercial. Oh, and I was like, oh no. And so Doug then went and, oh no, the farm's got to look unbelievable. This is not going to be like a small little thing. So then we got home from Travers and busted out making sure the farm, because we had all this rain, like we were mowing, we were doing everything, like every tractor UTV was in use. So it was a lot to prep for this. And then it started at 4:45 last Thursday in the morning.
Oh,
about 50 to 70 people were here shooting for these commercials.
Holy there was cow. Not,
yeah, it was. So it was at the same time, like super cool, but we shot for 10 plus hours.
Wow.
So it was a production and something that, you know, we've never seen to that degree of what, you know, that's like a normal day in their life, right? That they bring these whole sets. There's a production trailer and RV set up in our driveway, but like, it was,
that's
we just kept
cool.
looking at it. But yeah. We kept looking and be like, what in the world? What is happening here? In a good way. We were so impressed. Like they were really, really good at their job, like the production company and everything else. But so it was super fun to be part of. But at the same time, we were like, wow. At the same time, we knew it was going to be something. So we had to get our, you know, selves in gear to make sure that this place was looking to, you know, there wasn't a blade of grass out of place for Doug.
I can't wait to see the final product.
Yeah. So it's going to get the first, it actually was ended up being two commercials. They used more content. And so the first one's going to launch at the AAP convention. Which
wow.
Cool.
I mean, congratulations. That says a lot about your program, Jeff. Like, yeah. And everything you guys have built. I mean, that's huge.
It wasn't about us. And that's what's even the cooler part. It was about the longevity of the horses. And so they just needed English riding. So we like had like different costume changes and, you know, a lot of extras with our, you know, clients and staff and stuff. Mm-hmm. So they wanted it to be depicted 10 different scenes, like all the English riding was shot here. And
I see.
It wasn't like about us, but it was still cool to experience.
Yeah.
So it was more for Zoetis, like in the longevity of the horse and like the journey to get there.
Sure. Sure. But it's still, they picked your beautiful farm. They picked you guys, you know, top professionals. I think that's still very cool.
Yeah. Oh no, it was super cool, but yeah, It was definitely the rose and thorn because it felt like at 11 a.m., 10 a.m., I'm like, oh, it must be like 3 o'clock. I'm like, oh, no, the day hasn't even gone halfway through.
Oh, my gosh. What about you, Ellie?
Oh, well, are you guys ready for a wild story?
Oh, no. Wow. Here we go.
Okay, is this the rose or thorn?
This is the thorn. The thorn. Okay. I'll start with the thorn.
Because your wild story could be the rose.
Yeah.
Yes. No, I mean, that's also a wild story, but not quite as wild. So my thorn is that equipment, sometimes when it gets old, things happen. And I'm glad it wasn't my tractor. But so what happened was we were cutting hay and
I know this story. Go ahead. Yeah.
Justine knows because I sent her photos.
Yes.
So Matt sends me a picture. I'm like sitting in the house waiting for him. He's putting, you know, raking the hay into the windrows so we can bale. And I'm like, okay, I'm just going to hydrate, sit in front of the AC for a little bit. And he sends me a picture of this tractor driving through the middle of the field with a haybine on the back of it with no one on it. So at first I freak out because I'm like, did our neighbor fall off? Like what happened? But Matt was like, no, he went inside to go get a drink. He's like, but we have a big problem. I was like, oh, great. So the tractor, like, somehow, some way, turned itself around. Like, I think that the parking brake was not on, but it was parked uphill, or no, on level ground, so it shouldn't ever have been a problem. But things happen when you're dealing with equipment, you know, that's 50-plus years old. So it went through two of my pastures,
Then
ended up in the woods, like down at the bottom of my big field, which I'm really grateful that that's where it went, because if it had been 30 feet to the left, it would have gone through my barn where my horses were. So that would have obviously been a bigger problem. So I was really happy it did that. But so we had to fix fence. And my neighbor was super great. He felt so bad. I was like, it is not a problem. But he helped us, you know, fix our fences and everything. But I feel bad for them because the tractor, it's
maybe, still down there.
Maybe they can fix it, but no, it's done. We had to use our tractor to pull it out. The whole front axle completely busted off. So we had to like kind of like back weight it and then drag it up to his garage. So,
oh my gosh.
Yeah. So we offered to help them cut hay this summer because I'm like, I don't know how you're going to finish the job. But so anyway, so the good news is it wasn't our tractor because that would have been bad. But the bad news is that, you know, we had to fix a lot of fence.
And that you watch the tractor just going across the, I mean, I couldn't imagine being like, what?
Yeah. And there's a big hedgerow between the hay fields and like my pastures. So Matt was like, oh, it'll stop there. It's not going to get over the ditch. Nope. That thing just was rolling. Like it severed posts that were in the ground just completely at the base. Like just,
oh my gosh,
took off. So I'm glad no one was on it, to be honest, because that would have been very bad. So anyway, long story short, equipment is dangerous, people, remember.
And it has its mind of its own.
It was a good wake-up call for Matt. He was like, I did not expect to like potentially run into a tractor in the hayfield. So just a rogue tractor. So that was my thorn, but the pastures are fixed. The horses got to go back out in them, so they weren't in their winter pastures, so they were happy about that. And then my rose is that I took Q to a horse show this past weekend.
Yay!
It's the same one, the same county fair I take him to every year. And it don't laugh at me, it was my fifth ride on him this year.
Aww. Oh my gosh.
And but you're out there doing it, you know?
Yeah.
And I kid you not, it was kind of a train wreck to begin with because Matt woke me up at 7:30 and he was like, didn't you want to leave at 7:30? I was like, crap, because it was like 2 hours away. And so I missed like half of my classes and it's only a one ring, you know, showground. So I got there and I literally threw my tack on as fast as I could, got him in the arena, and I got literally to walk around twice and trot him alongside before the ring was shut and back to showing. And then the first class was his pattern. So I was like, well, all right, we're just going to send it.
Go for it.
And
yeah,
he was freaking awesome. I'm like, aww, the horse hasn't even cantered yet today. And I'm asking him to do this pattern. He's just like, whatever. I was like, I need more horses. I need more horses like Q. Because he literally was just like, sure, we're going to do this today. Fine. So that was fun. He was great. And he came home with a check. So
always a good day.
Yay.
Yeah. It was a whopping $12. But you know what?
Heck. $12 is $12. Money. Yeah, exactly. Aw. Well, I'm glad you're out there doing it, Ellie. That's all that matters, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. What about you, Justine?
Okay, so my rose is sweat. It's that Mikey is sweating, and it is a bajillion degrees here. We just had a heat advisory for the last 3 days with feels like temperatures reaching 117 degrees. So it's brutal. It's been a rough summer for sure, and it feels like summer started earlier than ever this year. Like in May, we were having heat advisories with just like the super high humidity. Luckily, it's a much more rainy summer, which I think is helping Mikey. And also, you know, last year he struggled so much because he was on stall rest with that coffin bone fracture. So he was just out of work that I think really zonked him. This year, we're still working 3-4 days a week. Not, you know, obviously drastically reduced from being in a show schedule, but he's still hacking around, going on trails, doing enough to keep his heart rate up, keep some muscle tone, keeping some fitness on him. And I think that's really helping him. So knock on wood, I hope we continue to sweat because it is a daily concern of mine when it's just this freaking hot, you know? But yeah, so that's my rose. Let's think. My thorn is probably also the heat. It is wild, y'all. It is a different experience to try to keep the horses in work or do anything outside in the barn this time of year. I'm just like, the older I get, I'm like, this is nuts. And it didn't used to be this hot, you know, but it is hot and it is crazy. And now that Mikey lives in a more urban barn, like closer to home, you know, he's surrounded by concrete. Like we're not out in the open rural area anymore where there's lots of big pastures. And I do think that makes a big difference, but the heat is crazy. And I just think there are so many people who don't take it seriously, like how deadly it can be, you know, like you can get really sick, like people, you know, let alone the horses, that like hydrating is so important. I feel like I get up and just like immediately drink like as much water as I possibly can. And then I start this long day of having to pee 1,000 times. But it's so otherwise, like I come home and I feel awful the next day with a headache that I just didn't hydrate enough. You know, it's really important. And I've always been a sunscreen person, but now I only wear SPF 70 to 100. I'm not even kidding you. Like the highest SPF I can find is what I wear. And I still am tan, ladies. I'm still tan with that kind of SPF. So the sun is bad. And Alex, I think I've brought this up multiple times to you guys. He follows me around with sunscreen at the barn if he's there, because he's met many old horse lady, and he does not want me to look like that.
We're skipping that one for sure. Yeah,
so he buys my sunscreen.
That's amazing.
And you know, I've got the Equivisor. I wear the long sleeve sun shirts, but it's brutal. I hate summer. The older I get, the more I hate it. Like, hurry up, let's get back to fall. You know?
Yeah, I agree.
All right, so we have a mailbag from Corey that I think I'm curious to hear both of y'all's opinions on it. So Corey wants tips on how to correct a horse who is always pawing on the cross ties, like never stops, can't seem to break the bad behavior. She stopped giving treats, but he still is really obnoxious about it. Do you guys have any advice? Like, how would you stop a horse that loves to paw on the cross ties?
This is actually one of my favorite things to work on. I think that's kind of a weird thing to say.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, because it requires like zero work from you. So hear me out, because a lot of the things, right, if you have to do a lot of groundwork and stuff, right, it can be tiring to be walking around and doing all that groundwork yourself. So in my experience, if a horse paws, it's either one of two things. It's either attention seeking or it's anxious. You know, if you have a horse that doesn't paw at home, but paws on the trailer at the show, right, you know that that's because he's in a new environment and, you know, he wants to do something. His brain's overactive. But so this is something I worked on with the mare that I got a few years ago, because she is a horrible, horrible paw. And she has been that way the entire time I've known her. So the you know, almost 15 years that I've known this horse. And the best advice I can give is to do the hard thing and ignore them like nobody's business. My favorite thing to do with a horse that paws on the cross ties is to get a pair of headphones, sit in front of them with a chair, and I just wait. You just wait. You do absolutely nothing until the pawing stops, and that's when I go up and I pet them and I brush them and I reward them. That's what I do. The biggest thing that I've seen people do, in my opinion, wrong, that kind of expedites and continues the behavior, is to like smack at them or get after them, because that's giving them like, oh yeah, like now this is like a pawing game.
It's a game.
Paw, exactly. Yes. I paw the ground and then you paw at me. And let's go. Let's do this. Like the best thing to do, just wait it out and then reward when they're still. So when they're still, that's when you're going to go up and pet them and you're going to rub their itchy spots, you know? And yes, it's a time consuming process, but that's the way that I've found that actually nicks it.
Okay. I like that. Jess, do you have anything to add?
I don't, because a lot of times like an ours pile, like we, yeah, ignore them and stuff like that. And they don't sit there. So we've not really, you know, a lot of ours for some reason don't really fall on the cross ties, probably because we're like messing with them and everything else. And they're in and out and they don't actively stand there. And so the only one that will sometimes do it is the star witness. And we should ignore her because half the time her foot's like, she like paws up high. She's not like pawing at the ground. You know, she wants your attention. So I'm like, no. So we just ignore her. So yeah, I think that's even better, to sit with the headphones and just actually like ignore them and then reward them when it is. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good advice.
The headphones are when it's really, if you have a concrete aisle, I know how obnoxious that noise can be.
Yeah.
So the headphones are for you. Watch, and then you can know when they're not making the noise anymore, but wear the headphones for your own sanity. So that way you can actually, like, because the biggest thing is if you address it as a stressed out thing, they're getting a response from you.
Yes.
And that's what they're looking for. So
good advice. So if you guys have a question and you want us to answer it on the show, you could send us an email. Our email address is justine@heelsdownmedia.com, or you could post it in our Facebook group, the Heels Down Happy Hour Podcast Lounge. We always have really fun discussions going on there. And if you want to hear more from us, check out heelsdownmag.com for the latest news, and follow us online at Heels Down Happy Hour on Instagram and Heels Down Mag on Facebook. And if you love our show, please give us a rate and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We want to say thank you to our sponsors this month, Yanmar and Belted Out Goods. All right, guys, that's a wrap. Cheers!
Cheers!